97.5, The Fanatic.
Well, good morning, good morning. Good evening. You gotta forgive me. Sometimes I think it's at 10 o'clock. No, it's 6 o'clock. And happy Thursday night to all across the Delaware Valley, Cousins Corner, live from the one and only Parks Casino and Sportsbook. This is our hang Thursday nights as we like to suss out all the games. And guess what? We're back. Back in business. NBA is back in business tonight. So I'm really looking forward to that. We got the NBA back in action. And quite frankly, I just can't wait for tomorrow night. It's been a slow sports like week, right? With the Flyers, it's been like, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, college basketball has been good. But let's face it, you know, we got one big story, right? Like all the rest is all, that's all apps, right? Like you need the main course, and that's going to be tomorrow night when we get to see the debut of James Harden as a Sixer. And I feel like it's probably been the longest wait for this debut as we sit and wait and wait and wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. But what it does do, it's going to trigger us into a really good time, right? A really, really good time. We're going to have a lot of fun because now the games matter, right? The games have story. That's the fun of it. The games are going to have a lot of story to them. We can't wait for, you know, tomorrow night, Minnesota. Then you got the Knicks, right? You got the Knicks at home. That's our knockout game. That'll be a blast. And then, of course, that's going to lead us to the March 10th. Yeah, I can't see him playing. I know we've all said this, right, at some point this week. There's no way in the world I can see him playing, especially now, where the report is that Durant will be back before Simmons. The game after the Sixers, the Nets play the Knicks, it's going to be nationally TV, national televised game on a Sunday. He'll make his debut then. That's the way it's going to appear. But it's going to usher us into a great time, man, right, where we'll have Sixers matter. Every game will matter. We'll have the NFL draft. We'll have, obviously, baseball. You know, at some point, I got to hope that baseball gets figured out. And the Phillies should be if they come back and it's going to be a mad rush, I expect the Phillies to be players in the free agent, like big players, where you grab a couple guys. Maybe you get a couple bigger players on a one-year deal. So you'll have that sort of thing. All right. Don't forget that it's all about Parks Casino and the Sportsbook app. That's what Cousins Corner is, where we suss out the games from a betting standpoint. And joining us in just a moment, the big brain, who I love, and he's going to be with us the whole show tonight, because we're geeking out tonight. Tonight's a geek-out session. And just remember that all the plays and all the games that we talk about, the big brain gets them right there, because he's the man here at Parks Casino and Sportsbook. And you can check out all these plays on the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Make sure you download it right to your phone. You can go to the App Store or go to parkscasino.com/PA. A lot of fun. They got all the games, same game parlays. Like tomorrow night, we're going to build one, and we'll have some fun with that. I want to get Brad to help me build one for you guys, the same game tomorrow night, parlay. But they have that. They have all the props. Brad is the prop king. So he's going to give you some games for tonight, all right? And then we'll talk about futures. We'll talk, you know, all kinds of NBA, college basketball. We may get into some baseball futures. So we're going to geek out tonight. And just remember, you got to be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Let me get my man up here. Because I was in the mood to geek out tonight. That's how to get my boy. The one, the only, the big brain, Brad Feinberg. Bradley!
10-game in-game parlay, man. I love it. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what that payday is because you're going to be a rich man after it wins, Anthony.
Yeah. Well, we're going to build it together
for the audience, you and I.
All right. Hey, why not? It'll be fun. It'll all be right. fun. Let's do a little bit. Sometimes things do win.
Right. Sometimes they do. And what do we know? Like, what do we call those plays, Brad? We call those the pizza bets.
Exactly. If you lose, it's not no harm, no foul. If you win, it could be a nice celebration. It's not with pizza, maybe with some champagne.
That's right. You're always on, man. So let's before we get into it, because I really wanted to we usher the NBA back, and I kind of wanted to geek out tonight. So first, you've had some time to digest the whole situation. Let's go back to tomorrow night. And let's take a look at how the Sixers look and project how they're going to look with Harden in the lineup. Now, I'm curious from your standpoint. I've been talking about it for the last, 2 weeks now, it feels like. You've had some time to digest it. You're a Sixer man, but, you're also a wise man when it comes to playing the games and investing. What do you think of this move now?
Well, to me, Anthony, again, for the 2022 season, right? That's what we're talking about. I don't know how anyone can criticize this move for this season, because clearly Ben Simmons is not going to play for this team. And this team, as good as Joel was playing, and Joel was playing at a level as a top three NBA player this year, and you can argue anywhere from one to probably three at worst, they were not going to be good enough to win the championship. I'm just being honest. I know you know that. I'm not saying, and every fan probably realizes that. They just didn't have that second player to get them over the top. If Harden, who seems like he will be motivated, is going to come back and can be healthy, I mean, this team is, in my opinion, Anthony, as talented as any team in the East. And it's interesting, if you look at the odds right now to win the Eastern Conference, Brooklyn is still the favorite. Right now, if you look on the Parks website, they're plus 275, which is the lowest odds of any team. I just can't get myself there on Brooklyn to put them as the favorite. I think there's still a lot of potential issues with that team, with Kyrie Irving. Will he not play every game? How will Ben Simmons integrate himself into that lineup? Will Kevin Durant be healthy? Yes, if everything clicks, maybe it happens for them. But look, I am very bullish on the Sixers' the chances, Anthony. I think they have a really good chance of having a special run in them. I mean, obviously Milwaukee's going to be really tough. Miami's going to be really tough. And even Cleveland, Toronto, Chicago. Anthony, there's no easy game, no easy series you're going to have here. From first round on, it's going to be really, really hard. But I actually think, and again, you said I just had to pick one team, which team I think has the best chances from a math point of view. I actually will say Philadelphia.
See, it's funny because I kind of got annoyed today at Stephen A. Smith, because Stephen A. today gave his top five. You go Golden State, Phoenix in your top five. I expect that. I appreciate that.
Sure.
All right. But you can't give me Brooklyn and Miami along with Milwaukee. No Sixers.
Yeah, again, Stephen A. is good at what he does, and he provides, entertainment and whatnot. But I don't even know if that's really what he does believe. I mean, he could just be saying stuff just to say it or whatnot. But again, what he thinks, that's fine. That's his opinion. He's a smart man. I'm not saying anything negative about him. But
it doesn't matter.
To me, there's really, I'm just trying to be objective. When you look at Philadelphia's lineup, Anthony, they really do have, theoretically, it should be two of the best 15 or 12 players in the league. And then I happen to like the surrounding players in this team. That to me is what I think. I know you realize it, but I think that the national media, which to me Stephen A. should realize, is they're surrounded by some good players. To me, Maxey has become a legitimate player for this team. I think Tobias is now a third banana is great, right? Is that third guy not having to be the second guy? And then you have Maxey is the third guy. Take your pick. And then I happen to love Thibault, that Swiss Army knife kind of guy that can just annoy the heck out of whoever he's guarding. And I think that's such a vital, vital part to this team's success. Are they a little in depth-wise? Yes. But, Anthony, as you know, and you've said it on your show, and you're 100% right, in the playoffs, these rotations get shortened. And look, can there be an outlier like the Sixers-Toronto series when Embiid didn't play in those 7 minutes a game? They got out scored by 20. That was over a seven-game sample size. It was a fluke. And no offense to everyone listening. It was a fluke. Doesn't mean that they had a good bench that year. Doesn't mean that Embiid's not great, but it never should happen what happened. That was a fluke. You had the late Greg Monroe in or whatever it was back in the day. But to me, your lack of depth should be masked much more so than the fact they have a great five or six top guys. And I'm excited to see how it works. Again, obviously Harden has to be good James Harden. We already know that. But if he is, look, again, none of these teams are unbeatable by any stretch in the imagination, including Philadelphia. But I think that they have five, let's just from a talent standpoint, Anthony, I think they're at the top of the list. And the Brooklyn thing, again, I'm going to make Ben Simmons show me that he's a winning player in a big situation. Because as much as I've defended that man throughout his years in Philadelphia, and I really have, in the playoffs, I just try to be objective. He has come up short, and it's been for the exact same reasons. He has not improved his game. To me, Anthony, that's what makes superstar players superstars. They work on their game. And every now and then you can have a Shaquille O'Neal that was one of the best 10 players ever. He never improved his free throw shooting. Okay. But outside of that, you know, most of these guys always work on their game and improve it. Ben Simmons, if I woke up in a coma from 5 years ago till now, seems to me like more or less the same player. So to me, I think Philadelphia made the right move in moving on, Anthony.
Yeah, I mean, again, and you know, it's funny because trying to look at it really objectively with Simmons and Brooklyn, can I see them fit together? Yeah, I could. I could. There's a path where I could see Simmons integrated there because, you know, he could just kind of be a unicorn type of player, right? Where you don't have to, he can push the ball when he wants. You can hide him. He's going to rebound. He's going to play defense. He's going to facilitate. So there's just things you can do with him with Kyrie and Durant. But I also think that if that happens and he integrates well, that's not going to happen until next year because that's going to take time. I don't see that thing working right away.
That's the end. I agree with you 100%. And it may work. By the way, I'm going to be honest. Long term, I actually liked the trade for Brooklyn. I actually thought for Brooklyn's point of view, Harden was not going to resign there. He didn't want to be there. So to me, they were just chasing a ghost there. And Simmons is a very talented player. And if you put him with Durant and if they opt to keep Kyrie Irving, it is a team that really could do some really special things long term. I actually will say that. But I just think it's a big ask for it to all to come together. Just like whip it up in a bowl of soup and hope it comes out tasting great. I just don't know if that's going to happen. Just like you said, could it happen? Absolutely. I can definitely see how it could. But again, I'm dealing from a math point of view, an odds point of view. I like the Sixers' chance of integrating James Harden and having him be that missing piece for Philadelphia much more than I like Kyrie Irving situation working out, Durant coming back healthy, Ben Simmons. I mean, who the heck knows what we're going to get out of Ben Simmons? I mean, he's had a freaking year layoff. Right. I just think it's a big ask. I really, really do.
You know what's going to be interesting is, you know, looking at the matchups will be a lot of fun. Like, the one thing about this league that's pretty interesting is that the drama is fun, right? Like, it knows how to create dramatic, you know, situations, and the East is going to be a lot of fun. Where you look at the West, and I think Utah's pretty good, but it's going to be between Golden State. I think Phoenix is the best team. So I look at that Phoenix team, and I think it's probably going to be Phoenix, you know, a little bit of an outside chance Golden State, maybe long shot Utah, but the East is going to be, like, you could have some good wars in the Eastern Conference playoffs. You know, Chicago's a good little team. Cleveland's a good little team. Miami is always fun. They're well coached, right? You got Jimmy. The Celtics are always the Celtics, and you know they were hot before the All-Star break.
Yeah, Anthony, to me again, and I'm just being objective here. I really think there's eight good teams in the Eastern Conference, and then you have a wild card with Atlanta, who at least, you know, showed they could get frisky last year, and they obviously went to the conference finals. But the Nets, the Bucks, the Sixers, the Heat, the Celtics, the Bulls, the Cavaliers, and the Raptors. The Cavaliers and Raptors are good teams. Now, do I expect them to make a run to the Eastern Conference Finals? No, I do not. Not going to be pushovers. And the Raptors, by the way, you want to talk about a team that has a really good starting five. their starting five to me is really, really good. And that's not going to be like an easy 1-8, 2-7 matchup for whoever gets that number one or number two seed. And same thing with Cleveland. I mean, Evan Mobley's really changed that franchise around. To me, I think he's, I'm not going to say he's maybe the next Tim Duncan, that would be an overstatement, but he's, the way he's come in defensively and really impacted that team, really like him. And that Jared Allen, I did not expect Jared Allen to become the player he's become. They did amazing getting him, and that just, that front court, old school NBA, Anthony, right? Having two bigs like that.
Yeah.
I'm biased. I like seeing, I'm kind of rooting for Cleveland, and I like the fact that it doesn't have to just be all small ball and all three-point shooting. I like the fact that they're able to incorporate two bigs and actually have some success. And as you said, Chicago, they have the best record in the Eastern Conference. We're not even talking about them. And now I know, Anthony, me and you have, you know, done some of the games on NBC where we announced Zach LaVine. I know I've watched him, like, really have that great scoring gene in him, and obviously with DeMar DeRozan as well, and Nikolai Vucevic, that's another talented team. And as you said, the Celtics, they're still, you know, since the last 30 games, I believe they have the best record in the Eastern Conference. So, and Miami with Jimmy Butler is really tough. It's going to be hard, whoever it is. So it is going to be a war, but I just think Philadelphia, if Harden is what we think he should be, I just think with those two superstar players and a really solid support, really solid surrounding players, this to me is not a team that's two men and done, right? I mean, I think they have a real starting lineup that's probably the best, in my opinion, maybe in the entire NBA, the Sixers. I would go that far. I think it's going to be Philadelphia's turn, and I think that, again, Anthony, we talked about it, me and you, I think it can be like the LA Rams kind of thing where this team went all in. I think they're going to get rewarded for it, but we'll see.
Yeah, totally. All right, so let's look at this for a second. What do you think that the Sixers need to add? Like, now, there's been a lot of talk with the buyout, and, sure, you know, like Willie Cauley-Stein, who's just a body, a little rim protector, 10-day contract in case nobody shakes free, you know. The one thing I wouldn't mind seeing another point guard shoot, like Gary Harris, could D up a little bit. He can shoot the ball. I still think they could use another guy because I am a little worried about the lack of guard play because it looks like they're going to rely more on Shake, and I'm not the biggest Shake guy.
No, I know. I actually do know that from personal experience with you. I do know that. You're not Shake. Listen, Anthony, for me, I would say, and I'm being honest here, it would be anyone. And what I mean by that is, I would just look for the best value. Anyone who's out there, they can help this team. Because this team doesn't need much, right? Because with Embiid, Harden, Tobias, Maxey, the five is like your quote-unquote big five. And then you're going to have, you know, maybe a little bit of some of your guys like Shake or whatnot, or Niang, or, you know, Korkmaz, or whatever, that Danny Green. If, you know, it's to me, it's really a little bit of anything that can just come in and contribute and maybe give them 12 minutes in a game, okay? Because in reality, they're probably not going to find anyone who really goes more than, in my opinion, 10, 12 minutes. But I certainly think that, again, I will say this, Willie Cauley-Stein is a guy who has an interesting career. He started out seeming like a guy to me that actually had a chance to be a serviceable hurdle for a long time. Obviously, his lack of shooting in today's NBA hurts him, but he's an athletic guy, and I think, again, maybe he can come in for like 8 minutes when Embiid's out and not, you know, for lack of a better word, embarrass himself and make this maybe be serviceable. Again, losing Drummond for sure there, that is a downgrade. But again, Anthony, I don't think they need much. I really don't. I think one thing that I would like to see Doc Rivers do, I'm not sure how much you've talked about this on your show, but I think it's very important. And like, again, I don't pretend to be a coach. I don't pretend to be anything that I'm not. But from a meta standpoint, from an odd standpoint, from a chance to optimize your chance of winning, I pray I never see any playoff minute where either Embiid or Harden is not on the court. Because if I see that, I won't be able to handle it. I hope he staggers the minutes a little bit so that there's never a situation where we get a team that you're like, where are they going to get the offense from?
Right.
And I hope he can find that rotation to make it. Of course, they play together for the most minutes combined, but I never want to see a situation where you're like, where's that offense going to come from? And they go from, let's say, up six to down two, because in a 4-minute stretch, there's no Embiid, no Harden, and they lose 8 points. Or if they're down three, they're now down 11. You get my point. And to me, I've seen Doc struggle. I'm not trying to be nasty, but I've seen and people who are in the gambling industry will talk about Doc Rivers, not to the gambling industry. But those are actually, Anthony, I'll say this, in my opinion, the smartest people. I will actually say that, because they understand the math and the analytics and everything that goes behind in terms of optimizing your chances to win. And Doc Rivers has struggled with that concept of sometimes staggering his superstars and leaving it out there where they don't always have someone great on the court. So to me, that's something I really hope he does a good job of.
Yeah, no, I think, listen, the one thing, you know, Doc's a pro, right? So I'm hoping, you know, I'm feeling good. I just think I look at the way they would integrate Harden in, and I just keep going back to it. Tobias and Maxey are going to be, especially Tobias, man. Tobias is going to be a huge benefit. It's going to be the big beneficiary of Harden, and him being in that third role, I gotta believe it elevates his play.
I gotta tell you something. It's interesting, Tobias Harris. I gotta tell you, there's been a lot of negative feeling on him as a player, and look, I think it's been a little bit unfair. When I look at him, yeah, should he be paid? What's he making, $40 million a year, whatever it is?
Right.
No, I'm not. But I think sometimes what happens, Anthony, when a guy is overpaid, you forget the fact he's actually a good player.
Right.
And to me, he's a good player, and I don't care that he's making $40 million. He's a good player who helps your team, and he's still averaging 19 points and 7.5 rebounds and 4 assists a game, and he's still a player that can shoot the three. Now, his three-point shooting has gone down this year. He's gone from about a 40% to around a 34%, but that could change. I mean, he could easily just, in the playoffs, get a little bit hotter, and he's an excellent free-throw shooter on top of it. He's a good player, and I think that because he's, quote-unquote, overpaid, I think people lose sight of the fact that I agree with you, but he is a very positive player on this team. He is a player that, in my opinion, will really be, in my opinion, if they do win the championship, I think he is a guy that really will be a guy that really is one of the main reasons, because he really should, with Harden, I believe, have a chance to really get some more openings and whatnot, and hopefully we see him even become, you know, a little bit better than he's been this year. But he's still been solid, in my opinion.
Yeah, he had that good stretch right before the All-Star break where, you know, his scoring was up. I just think they missed having a point guard, man. That was one of the
they haven't had it all year. Yeah, they haven't. They haven't had it all year. And Harden, listen, I'm saying Harden. Look, here's the thing I think is going to happen, Anthony. In my opinion, I think you're going to see a lot of, which is great, right? In that I think we're going to see a lot of Sixers getting to the foul line, you know, they're playing teams that maybe are a little thin in terms of their rotations. I think that we're going to see a lot of Harden and Embiid going to the line, and if that's, you know, the case, and you're getting 83-85% free throw shooters going on the line, it's hard to beat teams like that. And I love it in the playoffs when you have a team that has good free throw shooters in a close game, and you're going to have Harden, who's, I'm thinking, you know, mid-80s, Tobias mid-80s, Embiid, I think, is mid-80s. You know, I really think it lends itself very well that this will be a hard team to beat in close games, because if there are fouls at the end, if there are situations at the end of this game, they're going to really do well from the free throw line, which I think is a huge, huge thing in games, because these games tend to be close. I like the fact that Philadelphia has a lot of good free throw shooters.
Yeah, that's an underrated piece, man. And, you know, having Joe is such a big deal. You have two of the guys that are going to draw fouls. They're going to get to the line.
Hit him at a high rate, Anthony. Hit him at a high rate. And Maxey shoots, you know, almost 90 from the line.
Right.
All these guys, again, in close games, I expect Philadelphia to have success, because a lot of these things come down to the end in free throw shooting. And the fact that they have all their guys are shooting 85%, Anthony, that's a huge edge, in my opinion, in close games down the stretch.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, do me a favor. Sit tight, because we got to get picks. I mean, we kind of went off on that.
Yes,
I love talking sports with you, but you people want to hear picks. We got picks coming up, a lot of them. All right, tonight's game, we'll build our same game Sixer parlay for tomorrow night. We'll got college basketball. We're going to roll through a lot coming up, so sit tight. It's Cuz's Corner. Don't forget, we're powered by Parks Casino, Street Road Bend Salem. That's it. Now listen, download the app. Make sure everything that Brad talks about, it's a big deal. You can play right here on the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Go to parkscasino.com/PA or download the app store. It's dynamite. You're going to love it. And we'll try to get you set for a good same game parlay and some goodies coming up. All right? It's Cuz's Corner live from Parks. Don't forget, you're going to be 21 gambling prop. Call 1-800-GAMBLER right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, it's Cuz. Listen, no secret. I love my hoops. College, of course, pro. It's the best, baby. And my team at the Park Sportsbook app has us hoop junkies covered. I love it. The Park Sportsbook app, the only sportsbook app that I recommend. Numero uno. Nobody does live in-game betting better than the Park Sportsbook app. Make those future bets now on pro hoops. College hoop. Before the tournament starts, new customers make your first bet risk up to $500. Download in the App Store or parkscasino.com/PA. Promo code FANATIC. Got to be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. Cuz's Corner, live from the fabulous Park Casino, Street Road Bend Salem. That's where we hang out. All right, let's get to it. He came in for some picks. Let's not disappoint. Let's get the big brain up here, and let's look. The NBA is back tonight, so let's look at sides first. All right, big brain, what are you thinking about tonight?
Do you want the games, or do you want some props? What are you looking
let's
for?
Let's go sides first, and then we'll go with the props, because you are the prop king.
Yeah, and that's again, I always will tell people that is what I do most of my stuff with. But look, Boston against the Nets. Anthony, right now the line is 9 points, Boston being favored. Again, still no Kevin Durant, but Boston's been playing great. But I do think, Anthony, that the Nets, having gotten a little bit of a bump, getting at least a couple rotation players, getting LaMarcus Aldridge back, getting Andre Drummond, getting Seth Curry, think that number again. I made that number closer to 8. It's getting 9 right now on the Parks website. I think maybe they can keep that game a little bit closer to what that number is. I fully expect Boston to win the game. I just think 9's a tick too high, even being a shorthanded Brooklyn team. They did add 3 legitimate NBA players to their team, and because of that, I think they can keep this game at least somewhat close. That would be the first one. Another one, Anthony, Golden State at Portland. Now, it's interesting, Anthony. Portland has done everything they can to not make the playoffs. They went in full tank mode, and this team is really trying not to make the playoffs. It seems like you can get 10 points right now with Portland. They've actually won 4 games in a row, and they have a couple guys who are actually playing well for them. Nurkic in the middle has been terrific. Villanova's own Josh Hart, who they traded for, has been really, really good for them. That's one of the props I like playing. I'll get into. And Anthony Simons, a guy that was a young kid who came to the NBA, struggled initially, has become a borderline star.
Yeah, he's a good ball player.
Who can, you know, can really score. Golden State, to me, has lost 4 or 5. Their one win was a 2-point win over the Lakers. I think that line was 10.5, down to 10. Still leaning here towards Portland. Again, I just think it was a tick too high. I fully expect Golden State to win the game. Just thought that line would be closer to 9. We're getting 10 double digits. Again, you're never going to find an insane amount of value in any of these sides, in my opinion. I think it's easier to do it with the props. But I do think that Portland, who's been playing well, can cover that game after me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Any vibe, because we talk about, you know, Phoenix and big favorite against OKC.
Sure.
And kind of, but here's the thing, no Chris Paul.
So yeah, no Chris Paul
is a huge, you know, he's the engine in that squad.
Yeah, the only way I could look on that game would be the OKC side. Yeah. OKC has actually been a decent bad team, where they've actually had some decent games, especially at home. 10.5 points, and I don't think Cameron Payne's necessarily going to be back yet either as well. Look, obviously Ayton is really good, and obviously Booker is terrific, and Bridges has become a really nice defensive candidate player of the year. He's been, you know, he's been that solid for them. And this Suns team should win the game. But again, same thing we talked about the others, Anthony. I thought that line would come in about a point lower. In my numbers, I had 9.4. So it's 10.5. So it's about a point off. Again, my only lean there could be the underdog Thunder.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, let's take a look at some of the props for tonight's game. Let's first look at Cleveland-Detroit. Kind of where are you looking at there?
Cleveland-Detroit, Anthony. Well, there was one prop I had, but it's gone. I did take over 13.5 points for Josh Allen, Jared Allen. But I believe that number is up to 15.5. So for me, that would actually be a pass. So actually, I do have one lean, though. Jeremy Grant, look, his assists, I took under 2.5 assists, actually, Anthony, because his season totals are, in my opinion, a little bit fake because he hasn't had a lot of games with Cade Cunningham. So he was getting assists more when there was no Cade Cunningham. With Cade Cunningham there, I think Jeremy Grant is closer to a 2-assister, not a 3-assister. So I lean his under. But again, when you're talking about a number that low, the difference between 2.5 and 1.5 is massive, right? It's not like you're talking between 22.5 versus 21.5. When you're talking a very low total like that, every number's worth a lot. I think Jeremy Grant goes under his assists.
When you looked at, I'm just curious, the Jared Allen rebounds, because it seems like he'll get a lot of playing time. You're going up against Stewart. He should be able to grab a lot of boards.
Yeah, well, look, Jared Allen has been just absolutely, Anthony, like, tremendous all season. He's been a guy that, you know, is really just, there's nothing bad to say about him. Now, his over-under is 10.5 rebounds, juiced to the over at -150. He's gone over about half the games, 25 out of, actually exactly half the games, 25 and 25 to going over, and he's been a consistent guy that's been right around that 50% number. But again, laying 150 on the over, I can't get it, even though it's a favorable matchup. Now, if this juice was closer, let's say -110 against a poor rebounding Detroit team, I could have gotten more on board with it. The fact that price is -150, I kind of think it's the right number. I think he has about a 3 out of 5 chance of doing it, and that's what it's priced at.
Yeah, I can totally see that. I mean, when we're looking at boards, curious, like Drummond, we're used to Drummond putting up big rebound totals. Can you see that tonight?
Well, listen, here's the thing with Drummond. And, Andre Drummond, what I like about Andre Drummond is Andre Drummond can get rebounds. If you give him 5 minutes, he could put up, like, literally, like, 12 rebounds. I mean, that is what he does, probably better than pretty close to anyone in the NBA, in my opinion, is Andre Drummond getting rebounds or whatnot. That is what he does really well. He had 19 rebounds just a few games ago. The thing is with Andre Drummond that it's going to come down to this, is how many minutes is he going to get? And since he got to the Nets, Anthony, he's had 3 games. He's gone 9-19-9 with his minutes. With his rebounds. 9 against Sacramento, 19 against the Knicks, and 9 against the Wizards. But he's only getting about a little less than 22 minutes a game. So for me, when I look at his rebounding total, and right now Andre Drummond's rebound total is 10.5. Again, it's because I don't necessarily trust the minutes. I'm not looking to fade Andre Drummond at all, because he can get 11 rebounds literally in 8 minutes. I wouldn't blink an eye. But I just wish I saw a little bit more minutes. Like, if he was getting 24, 25 minutes, over 10.5 would be an easy play for me. But because the minutes just have been just not quite what I'm hoping them to see, to me, again, I thought 10.5 was the right number. But I would lean over for anyone if you're looking to bet that. My only lean would be the over, just because Drummond is so magnificent at the art of rebounding, and maybe a game against Boston where they have guys like Rob Williams and Al Horford, maybe he does get closer to 25, 26 minutes. If that's the case, I think he definitely will go over.
What other props are you looking at for tonight, brother?
Well, a couple things actually in that Nets game, Anthony, I played. Look, Marcus Smart, 4.5 assists. This is just a prop that is just a freaking winning bet. 34-16 of the year, Anthony, to the over. He's averaging 5.4 assists a game. So why is the over under 4.5? Again, not for me to figure it out. I'm just going to play over 4.5 assists with Marcus Smart, knowing that has been a bet that has won at a 68% clip this year. He's averaging one more assist higher than what they made the total. Again, I don't understand. I've done that prop a ton this year. I personally bet it probably about 15 times, and I'm probably about 10-5 betting it. So I'm going to take my chances there. Jason Tatum, I took over 7.5 rebounds. Anthony, he's 35-21 to that over, averaging 8.5 rebounds. Again, that's what I would have made this total, 8.5. Instead, they made it 7.5. Now, the negative is maybe you'd say for both the Smart one and the Tatum one, being a 9-point favorite, maybe there's a blowout and these guys don't get quite the minutes they normally get. Certainly possible, but the Nets, again, I'm willing to take my chance that I told you inherently I kind of like the Nets side anyway, and Tatum's been going consistently over that. And then our old friend Anthony, and again, this one was, I was getting plus 115, Al Horford over 2.5 assists. 49 games, he's gone over 2.5 assists, 29 out of 49 games, averaging 3.5 assists against a very porous Nets defense. I don't get why, when he's averaging 3.5, he's gone over that 60% of the time, and I'm getting juice. Why is it 2.5? Again, not for me to figure out. I think that's a very solid play in that particular game, and there's a bunch of others I have if you want to get in some other games. But
Yeah.
I'll give you a guy, Anthony, who's been playing really, really well recently. Sacramento, basically, you know, when they traded Tyrese Haliburton, a guy that we saw who was happy was De'Aaron Fox, probably, right? De'Aaron Fox was averaging 21.8 points a game, and they made his over under 23.5 points. So it's 2 points higher than the season average. But Anthony, 8-1 since they traded Haliburton to the over. He's averaging 27 a game. 8-1 to over 23.5. To me, again, I think the sports books haven't reacted to the fact that now De'Aaron Fox has been kind of let out of his thing, where now he doesn't have to share it, anything with Haliburton, right? Or Buddy Hield. I mean, he's now the main guy. So to me, Fox goes from a guy who was getting like more like 22 to a guy who's probably going to get 26, 27.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you an under here that I think was mispriced. Mikal Bridges. Really good player, Anthony, but one thing he doesn't do for being a really good player, he doesn't rebound. 58 games this year, he's played 58 games, gone under 5.5 rebounds, 43 of 58 games. Almost 75% of the time, Mikal Bridges has gone under 5.5 rebounds. He's averaging 4.3 rebounds. Yes, I understand Chris Paul is out. How does that affect Mikal Bridges rebounding? I have no clue. Maybe I'll find out tonight. But to me, again, I think that was mispriced, the full rebound. Again, should be 4.5 rebounds. And when he finishes with 4 rebounds, or 5 rebounds, I'll smile, knowing that that's why I made my bet on that. And this has been another bet, Anthony, I've done a ton this year. Just wins consistently. Trae Young, over 8.5 assists. He's 36-17 to the over, Anthony, okay? And he's actually 28-25 to over 9.5 assists. They're playing against a very poor Chicago Bulls defensive team. Anthony, this over-under is 241. I'm going to say that again.
Damn.
This over-under is
241.
Yeah, one down to GCOs. I mean, that's crazy, right? Because this Bulls team, since they lost Caruso and Lonzo Ball, well, they've been winning games. Their defense has really struggled because Caruso and Ball, far and away, they're two of the best defenders. And now they lose those two guys. Trae Young, to me, this is right up there as my favorite bet. I would have made this over under. Not only would I have not had it at 9.5, I would have had this at 10.5. Because to me, he's going over 9.5 anyway, and the highest total game of more or less the season, you're going to give me it at 8.5. I'm going to take Trae Young over 8.5 assists. That's a very solid play. And another guy who's been playing well, Anthony, we talked about Josh Hart. I took his over 20.5 points, rebounds, and assists last game since he got.
I love recently. That play. Yeah.
He's averaging 25.7 rebounds, 5.5 assists. He's, again, there's role changes. You got to look at role changes, you know, when he was on New Orleans, he was just, you know, he was a nice player for sure. But now this Portland team, he needs to be the Josh Hart of Villanova, right? Where he's really a big part of the offense as well. Again, I just think 28.5, I made it closer to 31 when I made my numbers. So I did take him over 28.5 DRA, point rebounds assist.
Yeah, I love that play, man. I do. I love that play. I think that's a strong, strong play, man.
He's been playing good. He's been playing really good.
Yeah. I like that a lot. And, you know, you bring up a great point about roles, right? In this league, when you're playing props and stuff like that, you got to look at how the roles change as the season goes on. I think, sometimes the books, and this is where you're great at it, sometimes the books are slow to really look at some of these props, like to catch up to some of the trends.
That's exactly right. And again, and let me say this, Anthony, again, you're going to get your biggest edges by far. By far. I mean, if you ever listen to me, please listen to me on this, on the props and stuff like that. That is where, in my opinion, you know, I will clearly be right more than I'm wrong, and versus the people, you know, setting the lines for these props because of exactly that. By the way, they put up 100 props. Probably 90, 95 of them are pretty good numbers, but I'm looking to find the five that I think are off. And when they're putting the line up on an NBA game, or an NFL game or a baseball game, those lines are harder to beat. They're more efficient, but on a prop, you know, especially, again, you just get a little bit of a role change, a little bit here, a little bit there. I have a saying, show your work. I'd like to know, how is Trae Young's assist tonight, 8.5? Again, maybe it loses. He may get 5 assists tonight, but I don't understand when he's average, when he's gone over that 70% of the time, and when you even bring it way back even more, Trae Young still goes over. Like, I'm talking not just this year, but Trae Young, since he became like a really good big-time NBA player, Trae Young has gone over 8.5 assists 63% of the games in his NBA career. So how is that number, and he's averaging 9.5, how's that number 8.5 in a game that's totaled 241? Just doesn't make any sense to me. So those are advantages, in my opinion, we can find over the sports books.
All right, let's build our same game parlay for tomorrow night. Now, here's my prop of the day. You ready?
Yeah.
Now, again, we don't have the numbers. The numbers won't be out until tomorrow. But I love Harden.
Philadelphia's a 2.
What's that?
Philadelphia's a 2.
No, I meant the props.
Yeah.
I love Harden over assist total.
Totally makes sense. I'm guessing it's probably going to come in at, I would personally probably make it 9.5.
Yeah,
is what I think it'll come in at, and I do agree that more so than his scoring, especially in that first game, I think James Harden's probably going to try to really get proved that he is not going to be quote unquote selfish, and he's going to really just make a point, just to prove a point. And he's, by the way, you know, it may even come in at 10.5. Because to me, Harden, you know, that's what he's really become really good at, is that he's averaging over 10 assists a game. It'll probably be 9.5 or 10.5, but it's 9.5. It's an easy play for me on the over. 10.5, I still think he does go over. I do agree with you, Anthony.
Yeah, all right, so let's do this. Let's make him one of our go-to. Let's make Harden over the assists will be one leg, all right? Then I like Tobias over points. Where do you think he'll be at? Somewhere around 16, 17?
17 and a half. I would probably 17 and a half will be my guess.
So let's do that. Let's go.
I think it'll be 17 and a half, Tobias.
All right. So let's go over the point total for Tobias. I think. Listen, you also got to go over Joe. Don't you think?
Well, he's owned. I mean, it seems like when he's gone against. Misremembering, but it seems like he whenever he goes against Towns, he seems to. Take it personally or whatnot against Towns. So yeah, I do think that. The only way I could look for Embiid would be, but that's going to be a high over under, Anthony. I mean, I will tell you that.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're not going to get 35 maybe.
In the last five games, Anthony, he's averaging 31 a game. Yeah, he's averaging 31 a game. It looks like his last five games against them, I thought it was even going to be higher than that, to be honest with you. But he's only playing, it's interesting, he's only playing 29 minutes a game in those five games. So maybe there were some blowouts in there, and the fact that they're only a 2-point favorite in there, I would expect Joe to get certainly more than 29 minutes. I think Joe will get in the mid 30s in this game.
I also think they're gonna have some fun together, right? I would also look to the over in the game. Would you like the over tomorrow night? I could see that being an over game.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly can be.
Only because Minnesota plays no defense.
Yeah, I don't show a total posted on it yet. And Minnesota, look, it's funny, I will say this, Minnesota's been like a frisky team this year in terms of, they've been a solid, I think it's going to be an interesting game. I do think the Sixers are going to win the game, but I actually do think that, that Minnesota is actually like a pretty, you know, a pretty decent offensive team. They're averaging 113 points a game, hence why you probably said you like the over. It's because this team is scoring a lot of points a game, but they're also giving up a lot of points a game. And it should be a game where Philadelphia, you would think on offensively, and I think Philadelphia's going to be excited, right? Like, just kept getting Harden there. I really do agree with you, Anthony, on the Harden assist. I think the Harden assist is a is the sharpest play of all the props we talked about. That's probably the one to me, just from a math standpoint and from a just integrating himself into the offense and how I'm thinking, playing amateur psychiatrist here, or psychologist here. Harden's probably really going to want to say, listen, I want to get everyone involved. Let me get his, this game, because he knows he can always try to score anytime he wants.
Yeah. Real quick, any other legs that you would add?
You know, I would maybe look potentially. Now, I know he had a good game against them last time, but I would look at Towns' unders. Now, I think he actually did have a good game against Embiid the last time they played, Anthony. But, like, to me, I still think Embiid has a guy that he can maybe struggle against a little bit, where Towns may not get his in that particular game. That would maybe be something I would look at. But again, Towns is obviously a very talented player. I'd have to see what the over-under came in at. Right. But that would maybe be something I'd look at, just because I could see Embiid wanting to show his wares on the defensive side of the ball on that one, too.
All right, last thing. Anything college that strikes, anything we should look at? You know, for the, you know, we got the weekend and, you know, tonight, tomorrow, anything you're really looking at that we should keep an eye out?
Yeah, the one game I did bet tonight, and look, this team, they beat me the other night, and they've been playing well. They've been playing well, but I just, you know, Illinois is a team that has been playing good. They really have. They're legitimate in top 15 right now, but I just still think that they're just a decent team. And I know they're going to get a number three or a number four seed. And obviously, Cockburn hasn't been the best big guy in college basketball. But I took 7.5 earlier with Ohio State, who, again, Ohio State's had some games where they've let me down, but I still think they're a decent team. And again, I made that number closer to 6. And I thought getting 7.5, I just thought that line was a little bit, in my opinion, Anthony, a little bit too high.
I like it. I like it. My brother, listen, it went by entirely too fast. We didn't cover enough, so that just means we're going to have a lot more to talk about next week. All right?
I can't wait. I enjoy it very, very much, my friend. Thank you.
It's the best, man. We love you, brother. Thanks, buddy. Here he is, the great Brad Feinberg on the Comcast Business Hotline. And all my man's coming up. I know he's dying to. I know he can't wait.
Yes. What's up, man?
How long has this week been?
3 months. It happened in July when free agency opened, and now we had to wait till the opening of training camp and now the regular season. That's how long it seems like.
Oh, my God, brother. It's been horrible.
Yeah, it has been, man. And I know you guys have done a lot of the top 50 with the players. And
yeah, I didn't finish. I saved some for tomorrow because I know I'm going to be dying tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. But now, you know what, man? The excitement, just seeing with the fact that they win that game against Milwaukee would send everybody into the break on a high note, feeling really good, especially coming off of that Boston game. And then just being where they are right now with this week off and just having a chance to get their legs back underneath them for this stretch of 24 and trying to find themselves in that top seed if they can. So, I mean, they're only 2.5 games back, so an opportunity for them to still make some noise. But it is fun, man. It's exciting to just know that there's a new energy and that dark cloud is no longer hanging over them.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny you brought up the dark cloud, and obviously, you know, we're gonna be hearing it over and over and over again, and it's gonna be, look at Ben.
Yes,
he's finally in a place where he could succeed, and they're gonna make every excuse for him in the Bucks. And I gotta tell you, D, I'm at the point now where, if he somehow turns into a player, so be it. God bless.
Agreed.
But I look at this Sixer team, and I just think they're strong everywhere. I mean, look, do I want another big or maybe another tweak, another shooter? Okay. But this team is really, it's the best team I think, since 1983.
So you feel good about the guys coming off the bench when the substitutions? I mean, look, I just heard you and Brad talking about the shortening of the rotation and all, but so you do feel okay about the guys behind them?
Yeah, I mean, I want Maxie coming off the bench.
Yep.
You know, but listen, do I think they could use another player? Yeah, but I got news for you. Is this, I'll ask you the question, is this the best team since 1983?
Team. Yeah. Because 01, it was really Allen and the supporting cast. This is, yeah. I would say the one that I would, it's funny, Ant, the one that I would argue this team against would be 18 when they lost to Toronto with Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick.
Yeah.
And Tobias Harris. So I would argue that team-wise, they didn't advance as far as we wanted them to, and they took them to the Game 7, the eventual champion. But I would say team-wise, it would be between this one and that one for sure.
See, the only thing is you can't – see, the biggest problem, right, is with that team, Joe wasn't ready yet, you know?
And you know what? I thought he was. He was dealing with that stuff with the stomach bug and whatever, you know, all that stuff that he was dealing with. Simmons wasn't all the way ready. And you're right. They weren't. Eventually, we saw it. They weren't ready. But to your point, it looks like Embiid and Harden, of course, are ready. Tobias better be ready. Maxie, I'm always okay with him because I think he's the most unafraid person on the floor. And you just hope that fifth starter and the rest of those guys behind him are going to be fine.
Yeah, man. You know what's funny is we're so excited and we're so out of our minds in this whole thing that I get excited. I hope I'm not overdoing it.
No, I think everyone is there with you. I really do. I think everyone else is there with you. The anticipation, it's like a new season. Except for you have a sprint of 24 games. And with that sprint, there's a lot on the line because of how good the East is, where you are in the standings, and what it's going to mean between these two guys, man. I mean, I know I'm going to talk about this a little bit because I was just talking to Mike Vito in the back and Dan and Haley as well. Just that with the anticipation, now it is, you know, what are you expecting from these two? We've talked about how are they going to look and all of that, and is it going to be Thibault or Green or Korkmaz or Niang in the starting lineup? But what are you expecting from this team now as they go with this final 24? What are you expecting? Because the other teams are good too. And whoever you get in round one is not going to be easy, but that's what makes it so fun, knowing that you're going to have to beat somebody good in every round to ultimately, hopefully, get to what we all want them to do.
I mean, this Eastern Conference is fun.
It is.
It's a good Eastern. I mean, this Eastern Conference. Think about it, right? I mean, you got your heavyweights, Sixers, Milwaukee, Brooklyn is the outlier to see what happens. You got Miami, the well coached, always dangerous Heat.
Yep.
You got the upstarts, Chicago and Cleveland, who I think are interesting and good, right? I mean, you got the Celtics always lurking.
Won nine of their last 10.
Right. I mean, and they're going to win tonight. I mean, this Eastern Conference is no joke.
No, it's not, man. The final 10, I think, are set. It's just a matter of where they are. Brooklyn is eighth right now. They're going to move into that top six. Right. So who falls out? Does Cleveland eventually start to bow out but still be in the playoff mix? Does Boston jump up as well? Will it be Chicago, as you mentioned, Miami? So that's why I'm saying all these games, man, these 24 is a sprint, but we have a lot in the 24 to learn about this basketball team and how good they can possibly be.
So what do you think tomorrow night's like on the floor? I was saying this earlier.
Yeah.
I see Harden looking to dish tomorrow. I could, whatever the over in his assists, I would take his over.
Yeah. So first, before you go there, who's your fifth starter? I put you on the spot right now. Who's the fifth starter? Maxie is starting. So who's your fifth? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It should be easy, but it's not.
Hey, listen, I got to go. Listen to me. I'm telling you right now, I got to go Thibault.
So do I. I think he's going
to
go. And
I have to.
We did the poll last night, and we talked about this. Tyler wanted Tyler thinks it's going to be Korkmaz. I agree with him I think it's going to be Korkmaz, but I want it to be Thibault like you. So then the follow-up in golf, which you're talking about, what it's going to look like, I think he will look to be unselfish. I hope it doesn't hurt them on the floor where he's trying too much to dish the ball instead of taking advantage of opportunities, because Minnesota's a good team. And I think that he will look to hand the ball out, though. He averages 10 assists. He'll probably get 8, if not. Is he going to be flirting with the triple-double tomorrow? Because that's what he does. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think we'll get that. The matchup between Towns and Embiid is always going to be fun. So that is something that we keep our eye on. Maxey and Russell. And remember, the Sixers, this is payback. Minnesota came
into
town.
Russell can't guard Maxey.
Right. And they came into town earlier in the year, and they beat the Sixers on their home floor. So this is a bit of a payback. And also, with it being what it is and the anticipation of it, they're going to try to make a statement with Harden being on the floor for the first time. They are. So
Let me ask you this. Because we both have this, I don't say soft spot, but we're still hoping for Thibault. His athleticism and getting him to the rim with Harden, how much can they exploit that?
With the athleticism?
Using Thibault's athleticism. We talk about lobs and the whole thing.
Cutter, backdoor.
Can we get him some buckets?
Yeah.
Which will then justify his minutes on the floor.
Yeah, I think so. And you lead me right into my point, which is that he's not going to knock down threes the way we want him to in year number three, right? He's not going to be Bruce Bowen yet. Nope. So with that, he's going to make up for it with the athleticism of getting to the basket, where Embiid would get him two buckets easy in a half-court set. Transition buckets he can finish as well, but now with a point guard who can also find him. He has this knack for his pocket passes on these rolls where everybody else is rolling about the roll, man. If they have some other action going on the backside, and Thibault is recognizing and understanding what's going on in that action right there, and his man is now paying attention to what they're doing with that pick and roll, that he's now cutting to the basket, therefore, boom, they don't see him, he gets an easy dunk. And that'll make up for those two threes that we want him to make, where Harden might find him 6 points to go with the other four that he already averages on the season. So if you can get, and then look, we're all doing this math and all that stuff, but it seems like it's simple enough, right? Where you have a point guard who is now going to be able to get him those easier buckets, where it will take away from him not knocking down those threes like we want to see on an every night basis. So yes, I do believe that that's something. And as you mentioned, the lobs, the every place he has been, whether it's Capella or Trevor Ariza or, you know, one of these athletic wings, Bruce Brown now, and that he's had in Brooklyn and those type, Nick Claxton, those lobs are going to be able to be available for Matisse Thibault. He's the most athletic, and that's a problem. He's the most athletic Sixer on this team outside of Bassey.
No, it is a problem.
Yeah, they need more athletes on the team. But I think they use that to that advantage to understand that's exactly what Harden will be able to make easier for him. Yep.
Our last thing. My only fear, it's why I really want Thibault to play, and I want to ask you, because it's my biggest fear, is how good can they be defensively? Can they get stops?
Yeah, it's just going to have to be a team defensive thing, defensive effort every night. So we'll see what our good friend Dan Burke has in store with how to use the defense.
That's right.
That's why we want Thibault out there. That's why some think Green should be out there, because he's a good team defender. Harden is not awful. We've just seen some awful display of defensive basketball out of him over the years. He can move his feet and his body. He's a strong body guy. So I think they'll be fine overall.
I love it. Listen, we can do this all night.
Yes, we could.
Fritzy will have a conniption.
He's already looking at me.
He's like, come on, guys. Come on, guys. No rules, man. When it's me and Devon, and we're talking hoop.
That's right. It's the no rules hour.
The rules,
no
baby.
Rules hour. Here you go. All right. Thanks, Ant.
Dog mentality.
Stay tuned. The great Devon Givens coming up next. Guys, thanks. We love you. I'll see you in the morning. All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.